Amen. We appreciate your good prayer. Tony's going to speak for us tonight. Let me say that I've taken my blood pressure several times today. It's not up, so it must be inner ear trouble that I'm having. But you pray for me. We're going to try to see the doctor in the morning and see if he can't give us something for us. And so you just pray for the service, and we appreciate you coming. Tony, come on.
It's good to be here tonight. I count it a privilege and a joy to be back in God's house. All that He's done for us is just about as much a surprise for you as it is for me. Daddy told me after dinner today, he said, you might ought to look at something. And that's hard for a preacher whenever he don't know if he's going to preach or not. So somebody just say, well, you kind of look at something. So we had company this evening and different things, and I kind of looked and I thought, well, I've not got anything, so surely Daddy's going to preach tonight or teach on Revelation. Got here to the church and to the prayer room, and I said, well, what'd you decide? And he said, well, I'm going to let you go ahead. So I do desire your prayers tonight. I just want to follow the Lord, be that He'd want me to be in the service, and give Him my best. I thought of sitting over there, I thought, well, Paul did tell Timothy to be instant in season and out. He said, just preach, if you're ready, and if you ain't ready, just go ahead and preach and give it your best. So we desire your prayers tonight, that we could just follow the Lord and be obedient unto Him. If you have your Bibles, you'd like to read with us tonight, we're going to read some scripture from the book of Acts, the first chapter. I don't know really what will get said tonight, but just listen to the Word of God and that it has to say unto our lives and our hearts. Acts chapter 1, I'm sure this is very familiar scripture, been used many times in preaching, been used many times as reference, been quoted many times, just various things about this scripture, so I'm sure it's not new to you, but very familiar. But Acts chapter 1, begin with verse 1, he said, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, and all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with him, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. And that's reading 14 verses from the first chapter of the book of Acts. We'd like to go once again to the Lord in prayer at this time. I'll ask Neil if he will to pray for us.
Yes, Lord God, we appreciate your goodness and your mercy. Your love unto us, Father, you know that we need tonight. Oh, God, I pray you'd help us and you'd guide us. And Father, you'd give us that morning, Lord, may we edify thee. Lord, I pray that you would help our lives, our souls, God, tonight. Lord, God, you know that we need. Oh, how we need you more now than ever before. And God, how we need you so much, Lord God, in our lives and our heart. And Father, I pray you take these words, Lord God, give us the words to say. Give us that meaning. Father, help us to walk for you. Tell people about you, Lord God, to honor you, to edify you. Lord, to glorify you and be your Lord, I pray for you. Lord God, I pray that you start this revival. Oh, how we need it, Lord God, this hour. Lord, take the word and apply it to our hearts. Our lives, Father, I pray that you do. Just help us, Lord. I want you to give us the things. Give us the things. In Jesus. And Lord, I pray you help us to play the promises of God. It's so good to live for you, Lord God, in this hour. Father, I pray. Help us, Lord God. Oh, thank you. Deliver us, Lord. Lord, in your life. Father, you're able to help us. Give us those things. Run back every person, Father. Lord, we're to live from day to day that we'd be the Christian and the child of God that you'd have us to be. Not what somebody else wants us to be, but what you want us to be according to the Word of God. Lord, I pray you bless and help everyone. Stand with each and every God-called preacher across our land tonight.
Yes, God,
give us hope for their labors, dear God, and help their churches to grow in leaps and bounds for the honor and the glory of God. Let everything done here tonight be done right in order the way it ought
yes,
to be.
Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We appreciate the prayer. You'll find that Jesus, after in the end of the book of John, you all know how that Jesus had died and was buried and resurrected the third day. And after that, you'll find that he appeared 40 days and 40 nights unto his disciples and many others. He showed himself to them. So you'll find that at the end of this time that Jesus was ready to ascend back to his Father and there to sit on the right hand of the Father. And you'll find that he done some things here in the first chapter of the book of Acts. You'll find that he began in verse 1. Let me just read a little bit of this. It said, "For the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." Now, he had given them some commandments, some things to do, some work to be done, some many things that he had given them before he left. And you'll find that he said in verse 3, "In whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs." And as I read that, I thought, what a thrill that must have been to the apostles, and what a thrill it is to us that he showed himself alive unto them. I'm glad that he resurrected and that he is alive tonight. Many people worship many things today. They look to many people and look to them as their leader of their religion. And all of them are dead, but I'm glad that we're serving a risen Lord, one that proved himself alive by showing himself unto his apostles and to many others. It said by many infallible proofs. I mean things that couldn't be proven wrong. Many people, you'll find that all these, they said, well, you go around and you lie and say that the apostles, they stole him away and that they took his body and he's not really resurrected. But yet they couldn't prove wrong all the infallible proofs that Jesus gave them. He even appeared one time to above 500. And so there was many that saw him alive and they couldn't prove that he wasn't alive. He said, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. See, he spent the 40 days teaching them some more things and appearing unto them. And now as he was about to ascend back to his Father, he began to tell them some things through the remaining part of the scripture that we read. And I thought that Daddy's preached this morning and talked about how to live for Christ in this life. And I thought many times by our living, we limit God on that he wants to do. We're afraid, well,
that God can't handle this problem, and He can't work this out, and He can't do this and that in our life. But I want to share with you tonight, by the help of the Lord, just five things that Christ left the church. I believe there's five things that are in this Scripture and in the Word of God that Christ left the church. I'd like to share those five things with you tonight by the help of the Lord. First of all, I believe that Christ left them an unfailing guide. Notice in verse 4 what He said unto them, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of me. Now, what was Jesus talking about when He told them to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father? He is talking about the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter that He had told them about, the One that would come. He said, He'll not come until I'm gone. And you'll find that He had told them about this. He had told them that He'd come, and He told them in John chapter 16, I believe it was. He said, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. So Jesus left them an unfailing guide, one that would teach them and guide them into all truth and all things. Many times today we don't know which way to go and hardly what to do. And we say, well, my, I'm faced with this. And I don't really know how to go about it and how to do it for the glory of God. I'm glad we've got one that'll guide us and teach us the ways to go and how to do in this life. Many times I heard a fellow preaching this morning. He said, many times we just don't wait to hear what God has to say. And we jump right into things and do them by our own will and our own thinking. But I'm glad that He left us an unfailing God, one that will not fail us, one that will not let us down, one that will not turn us away, He'll push us aside, but He'll guide us into the things of God. So I'm glad that He left us. He left the church an unfailing God, the Spirit of God. And you know what? The Spirit of God, I believe, is God's answer to all the church's problems. He told, I believe, Zerubbabel over in Zechariah, He said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. I believe if churches and if Christians today would let the Spirit of God guide them and govern their lives and their actions, we'd have a lot fewer problems than what we've got in our churches. The reason churches get in a mess and Christians' lives get in a mess, we don't let the Spirit of God guide us like He wants to guide us. I tell you, I believe that's God's answer to all our problems in church and in Christian lives. If we just give ourselves to the Spirit of God, let Him lead us in the ways He wants us to go. But He left us an unfailing God. And not only that, you'll find that He went on and He said, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, not only did He leave them an unfailing God, but He left them unlimited power. He said, now that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You'll find Jesus told them, I believe in the book of Matthew it might have been, He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He said, I've got all power and all strength. Christ left the church tonight unlimited power in service to Him. But many times we ain't got the power to do anything. Why? Because we limit God by our lives
times that we live. You'll find the children of Israel. I believe he said over in the book of Psalms, in the day of battle, being armed, they was ready to fight. They had weapons in their hands. They turned back and wouldn't fight. And it went on to say that they limited the Holy One of Israel by you and I turning back and not wholly following God. We limit God's power in the midst. We look around, we say, why ain't people saved like we'd love to see them saved? Why don't we have the shouting like we'd love to have the shouting? And these things, I believe much of it, if we can look at our lives and see whether we failed, and the cause of our failure in our Christian life, it's limited what God desires to do. He desires to save every time we get here. He desires to bless every time we get here. But many times, because of sin and living against God and not doing what He wants us to do, failing to pray and study His Word, it limits Him in that He desires to do. But I want you to know He left us unlimited power. He left us power that we've not even experienced yet. That we don't even understand or comprehend. God left us power as His people to serve Him in this time. A lot of times we look around and say, my, I don't know how God can handle this. We get problems in our life and in our homes, in our churches, and we say, oh, well, I just don't know about praying about this thing. It's awful big. I want you to know God's got unlimited power to help us. There's unlimited power. He left under the church. He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So one of the things that Christ left the church, He left an unfailing God, but He left also unlimited power. Not only that, you'll find that He continued on in verse 8, and He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You'll find not only did He leave them unlimited power, but Christ left the church an unfinished task. What did He say? He said, ye shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. He left them an unfinished task. The work wasn't done. The work wasn't finished. Not everyone had been told. The word hadn't spread to everyone. And He left it to the church to spread the word of God. He left it to the church to tell others. He left it to the church to be witnesses of Him. Wherever you go, if it's on the job, how to be a witness there. He left an unfinished task, whether it's at the shopping centers or wherever you're at, to be a witness unto Him. An unfinished task. There's people yet we need to tell. There's people we need to witness to. There's people we need to pray for and try to get them to Jesus. He left the church an unfinished task to be performed. I'm glad, as I said a moment ago, He left us unlimited power to complete the task. I realize we can't do the work in ourselves. We can't work in our own place, but I'm glad He left us power to be witnesses. He left us power to serve Him. He gave us power that we might fulfill the task that He left us. He left the church an unfinished task, a work to be done. I realize, as Daddy said this morning, and how it touched my heart, that He can't do it all. He can't do all the praying. He can't do all the witnessing. He can't do all the vision. And as I thought about that, as He said it, it touched my heart. Now, I thought many times in my own life, I leave it to Him or the deacons or someone else and say, well, let them visit that home. Or let them witness to that one. Or let them pray. We need to band together in prayer one for another and for the lost. We need to do it together. The work won't be done if one's left to do it. We'll have to work together and be a witness together for the glory of God. I tell you, we need to work together.
I mean, not having one pulling one way and one pulling another. Paul, in the Sunday school lesson this morning, Paul said, fulfill ye my joy. He said that you be like-minded. He said have the same mind, not one looking one way and going that way. Not looking another, one looking another way and going that way. He said have the same mind and the same love. And he said of one accord. He said in harmony and unity, working for God. And not one complaining against another. Not one grumbling against somebody else. But having unity and harmony one with another in the work of God. I tell you, there's a task and a work to be done. It's unfinished. If you say, when will the task be done? I believe not everybody will get saved. I tell you, the day is now whenever we can work, but night cometh when no man can work. There's a time coming the work will be done. The praying will be done. The witnessing will be done. And there's many that will be left lost and doomed for a devil's hell. I tell you, just because many people have the attitude, well, I'll not win them all. I can't reach everybody. I will not get them all in. And many people have that attitude, and because of that, they say, well, what's the use? They'll probably not come to church. They'll probably not get saved. Why invite them to come? You don't know that. I don't know that. We've got a task to perform for Him, an unfinished task. Five things Christ left the church. He left them an unfailing guide. He left them unlimited power. He left the church an unfinished task. But yet also He left the church an unfailing commitment. And you say, what was that? I want to flip to the book of Matthew, chapter 28, and read you this commitment. Dealing with the same time that Jesus was about to ascend to the Father, He had told His disciples to go and teach all nations. And He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He left an unfailing commitment. What was that? He said, I'm with you all the way. I'm glad that He promised us He'd not leave us. He'd never forsake us. He said, I'll go with you all the way, even unto the end, all the way through. He said, I'll not fail you. I'll not let you down. I'll not get you in the battle and forsake you. I'll not get you in the war and then turn aside. He said, I'll get you in the battle. I'll lead you through. He didn't promise us that we'd not get in the fire, but He promised us that He'd go through the fire with us. I'm glad He promised us. He committed Himself. He said, I'll go with you all the way. The unfailing commitment. He said, I'll go all the way. What a promise that was to leave His disciples. I'm sure they were troubled in heart and spirit. Jesus had died and was resurrected. And there was still much they didn't understand. I'm sure they wanted to know. But Jesus said, you go and do the work. And He said, well, He said, I want you to know also. I'm going to be with you. He said, it might get rough, but I'll be there. It might get hard, but I'll be right there. It might get difficult, but I'll never fail you. I'll go with you all the way. I'm glad He promised it to us. He'd go with us all the way, even unto the end of the world. I tell you, times may get rough. They may get perilous, as Daddy preached on this morning. I'm glad He made us an unfailing commitment. He said, I'll go with you all the way unto the end. He'll not just about get us out. He'll not pretty close get us out. He'll get us all the way. Every bit of the way. He'll never fail us. I'm glad that He won't. Five things Christ left the church. He left an unfailing guide. He left unlimited power. He left an unfinished task. He left an unfailing commitment. But then last of all, I want you to notice in verse 10 and 11, He said in verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye
keep gazing up into heaven. This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen going to heaven. Where did he leave? He left an unfulfilled promise. And they said to him that day, I believe the disciples stood, and as Jesus began to rise out of their sight, I believe they strained and they watched. I believe they covered their eyes that they could see him as he went out of sight. And as he is gone, I can see him standing there. And they kept looking and wondering. And two men stood by them and said, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus that you've seen go away, he'll come again in like manner as you've seen him go. He said, just like he went, he'll come again. An unfulfilled promise. He left us. He said, I'm going away, but I will come again and receive you unto myself. An unfulfilled promise that he left you and I. He's coming again. You say, I've heard that and I've heard that all my life. Yeah, but he's coming again. It may not be long. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. I don't know, but he's coming again. There's one thing we know about it. The certainty of it. He's coming. We don't know the day or the hour, but we know he's coming again. And we need to look for him. And watch for him. He's coming again. The other day, I want to give this as an illustration, and then we'll close in a moment of time. The other week, I come home from work, and I was a little late getting home. Alice told me, she said, me and Jared went outside, and we stood outside, and I told him, I said, Daddy's coming home in a little bit. And she said, he began to look around and look up the road and say, Daddy, Daddy, and he just stood around and looked. Coming for me to come down the road. Coming home. I began to think he looked with expectation because she said, I was coming home. And then I began to think my mind went. I began to think Jesus has told us he's coming again. And you know, it all excited us as children of God. We ought to stand around and look and say, Jesus, are you coming? When you coming? I'm looking for you to come. I'm longing, expecting him to come any minute. I'm looking for the fulfillment of that promise. I'll come again. I tell you, expectation. I believe the reason many Christians don't expect him and don't look for him because they're not ready to meet him. I tell you, our lives ought to be ready. That we get excited when somebody told us he was coming. It ought to excite us. When somebody said, Jesus is coming soon, we ought to get to look at and say he may come today and look for him and long for him. You'll find that's our blessed hope. Paul talked about. He said, looking for it, longing for the day, looking for that time when that promise he left the church would be fulfilled. Five things Christ left the church. He left us an unfailing God in the Spirit of God. He left us unlimited power through His Spirit and the Word of God. He left us an unfinished task to perform. He left an unfailing commitment, and He left an unfulfilled promise unto the church. I'm glad that he did. I'm glad we've got power to serve him. I'm glad we've got one we can lean on in time of problems and hardships and troubles. One that'll never fail us. One that'll never let us down. He'll go with us all the way, even unto the end of the world. I'm glad we've got an unfailing God. I'm glad we've got a friend in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. As the songwriter said, what a friend he is. One to trust in and lean on. I thank him for it. I want to get a song. We're going to stand and sing. That's all the Lord placed upon our heart tonight. You may be here tonight, and there may be a need in your heart and in your life. I don't know. Maybe you've been discouraged. Maybe you've been downcast in spirit. And you just want to come say, Lord, I realize you've left me unlimited power in the work to be done. You've got a task for me to perform. You've given me power to perform it. Lord God, I just want to commit myself to Thee and to serve You and fulfill the task that You've left me. As we stand and as we sing, if there's a need in your heart tonight,
number 55.
Why not come?